Good evening. I'd like to call the May 1st, 2019 meeting of the Board of Library Trustees to order, please. The record show that the board is here except for Sophie, who I'm sure will be zipping in soon. We have 10 speakers today, so each of you gets 3 minutes. And I'm going to read all the names so you sort of know what order you're going to go in. But as one person speaks, I'll introduce the next one in case you forget, so don't worry about it. Meryl Olivera will be first. Louise Sindler will be second. Stuart Samuelson. Margaret Radke. Lisa King. Jane Schoenfeld. Phyllis Press. Eva Sherman, Carol Lashoff, and Marilyn Simmons. All right, Meryl Olivera, you're up.
Thank you all. I have copies.
Thank you.
I forgot to do this last time.
Thank you.
My name is Meryl Olivera, and I'm here as a Berkeley resident, library patron, and longtime participant in a former library program called Play Readers. I had an opportunity to speak at your last meeting about my dismay that Central dropped the program without any attempt to notify participants or to try to find a way to continue this obviously successful and popular program at the Central Library location. I'm here tonight because I believe that the issue of Play Writers would be on your agenda and that we could discuss with you the possibility of keeping the program intact, which means, at the very least, continued use of the Central Branch Community Meeting Room for 1 hour a week on Wednesdays, noon to 1, same time, same place as it's been for the last 10 years. But Play Readers is not on your agenda, which means, once again, we can't expect to hear your input, suggestions, guidance, etc., about keeping our program. Absent that, I don't know what more I can say to you that I've not already written or spoken, but I do want to advocate, I am advocating, for a chance to keep Play Readers going as a weekly event in Central's meeting room, with or without library staff in attendance. Except for the room and it's the library's collection of literature, Play Readers requires no other resources from the library. I hope you can see how important it is to support programs like Play Readers that reach out into the community and make community happen at Berkeley Library. Thank you.
Thank you. Louise Sindler.
First of all, I'm delighted that all of you are about my age and as age of my fellow Play Readers. I've been retired for 5 years. One of the highlights for me and for my actor husband has been to walk from our home to the Central Library and read plays. Well, they've been doing that for 10 years. And in this room, there are people who manage their own theater, who are actors, who are writers, published writers, and playwrights. When Debbie Carton, who used to help us, when she had to be out of town, we were able to manage on our own successfully doing the plays because we have such wonderful literate people. And if you go to North, just North, since I don't drive, I would have to take a transportation one way, an hour the other way. For a lady who's going to be 80 years old in less than 3 years, that's a lot. Please, please consider keeping it as Central. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stuart. I'm not sure if I can follow that. That was truly excellent. Mine is very short. I had to write it down to make sure I get it correctly. Not having the Play Readers item on the agenda is an obstruction of justice. Plain and simple.
Thank you. Margaret Lackey.
In my memo that I sent before the last meeting on the Bolt, I indicated I had been going to Play Readers for 5 years. And it was a highlight, and has been a highlight of my Wednesdays. It's what has been happened to us as a group recently. It's just abhorrent. We were not told that there would be no longer a Play Readers group at Central Library. We heard through word of mouth. And it was like one day, I think it was March 3rd, 20th, we were in the meeting, and one of the librarians handed out a survey, and we filled it out, and we were given the impression that our Readers group would continue meeting every week. That was the total impression that we were given. And lo and behold, the next week, April 27th, nothing. Couldn't even have the room. Now we can't reserve the room except for once a month. So anyway, I'm just disturbed that it's the way it's been handled, and I really want it to continue. Because, like I said, I've been going for 5 years, and the program has been on around for 10 years. What's wrong? What's wrong with it? Why stop?
Thank you. Risa King?
Yeah, I'm Risa King, and I spoke last week about the various advantages we have keeping the Play Readers group at the Central Branch on Wednesdays. And I was under the impression that we were going to be on the agenda this week, or this month, and so imagine my surprise to learn that no, we're not on the agenda. I came in good faith, hoping that the board was going to work with us, or at least speak to us about any kind of feedback that you might have, only to find that it's missing. I feel like there's some passive-aggressive thing going on here where we're not being addressed, and that you would like us all just to conveniently disappear. So just here to tell you I'm here, and I'm not going to disappear. Thank you.
Thank you. Jane Schoenfeld.
Hello. Once again, I'm going to tell you that I appreciate the fact that you set up a Play Readers at North Berkeley at 11 a.m. on Friday. However, as Margaret said so cogently, we do not appreciate the way all this was done. We were never informed. We were told that it would be on the agenda. It was not on the agenda. In addition, last time 11 of us were here, 8 of us spoke, and not all the people who spoke were listed in the minutes. I was not listed in the minutes. That's one of the reasons I know. So my question is for you, what can we do? Who can we talk to? If you're not the right group to talk to, who can we talk to? Who will solve our problem? Can you answer that? Or because it's not in the agenda, you can't.
That's correct, because it's not on the agenda, we can't.
Well, then I tend to agree a little bit with Stuart that it's kind of obstruction of justice. Thank you.
Phyllis Press.
Okay, so I also was here last month, and I have nothing really new to say, except I am going to ask what we can do to get on the agenda. That seems like an appropriate question, because we were led to believe that we would be on the agenda this week. And then the other thing, I'm someone who has been going on Fridays to the other branch, and it's not going to continue to work. I've been doing it while I'm waiting to see what happens with the other group, but the place and the time are not good for me to continue doing that. And so I'm asking, again, how we can get this issue on the agenda, and if you can say why it wasn't on the agenda this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Eva Sherman?
Hello. I also spoke last time, was here last time, and here this time. And if you do it next month, I'll come next time. But at some point, it seems like really ought to make a decision here. And this is a popular program. It's taken advantage of by retirees, by people who may not find it convenient to travel to a different place. After 10 years, it's got a good following. It brings enormous goodwill to the library. It's very useful to the community. A newcomer to Berkeley, of all the many things I could have tried and did try, this is the one that worked for me. I'm grateful that the library had it and that Debbie organized it many, many years ago. People here who are in the group are more than willing to do any work, Xeroxing, take leadership positions. We're not helpless. But this has worked. It's been good for people. It's great for outreach. It's great for seniors. And I can keep on going and intend to keep on going, absolutely, if it continues at the Central Library. North Branch, too far away, too hard to get to. I'm not as young as I once was. It makes all the difference in the world to us. If it worked where it was, if it's good where it was, can you at least please consider keeping it where it was? And if we need another opportunity to say all this, we will.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes,
please ask.
Has there been a lot of new people that come in and other people who exit, or has it been like a very much a core group that has remained the same over time?
People who've been here longer than I have been a fairly newcomer.
Yeah, and you know, you can go back there because everyone wants to hear your answer.
Oh, I can say who's been with the group longer, but my impression is just having been there with a few months.
Oh, and yes.
I see the same group of people all the time, mostly. Mm-hmm. Faces are familiar. There's a core group that goes pretty much most weeks. I go not every week. Sometimes I travel. I have grandchildren elsewhere. But I see mostly the same group of people with a few additions. And it's a, the community room.
And you're a relative newcomer to it. And yes. I'm just curious, how did you learn about it?
I learned about it, I guess I must have learned about it from a sign at the library or something like that. I said they have flyers in the building, but there's an area with flyers right in the lobby. I just picked it up. And when I came to it, I was astonished how good it was, how lively, how well organized, how crackerjack it went. How interesting. The group has chosen this place for the next year ahead. We know what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't require a lot out of you guys. Just let us use the room, and we will do the rest. And it's successful and good, and if somebody else wants to address the issue.
Well, I think you've answered my question. When we ask questions, we just...
Please,
ask any answers to questions.
Ask anything else you want.
I've been going since 2009.
So I'm sorry, actually, didn't ask you the question. I just asked you the question.
So people have to go a lot longer than I have.
Okay, well, maybe if someone else comes up who's been there longer, okay. I'll ask them.
Any other questions?
No, that's good. I'll ask Thank another
you.
Person.
Thank you. Tara Lesha.
Hi. Guess what? I'm here for the same reason. I was out of town last month, or I would have been here then, too. I'm Carol Lashoff. I have been a Berkeley resident and a very enthusiastic library patron. Since 1983. Since 2010, I have been a regular participant in the Play Readers program at Berkeley Central. And yes, I can say there is a core group, many people who have been there for all of those years and sort of see it as our, I always think of it as the congregation gathering when I see people come in. But it's a very welcome group for new people. And often, for example, we've had foreign students who are in the country for a year or a semester and who join the group so that they can learn English. We've had people come and then go off to grad school and so on. So there's a core group, there's loyalty, fierce loyalty, as you can tell, but there is also welcome for new people and new people coming and other people leaving. You've obviously heard how beloved this program is, how much it means to so many people. It serves when someone is ill, you know, everybody's writing notes and visiting. For me, I'm the one who founded a theater company because of my participation in Play Readers and meeting a director, theater director. I'm a playwright. We started a company called Those Women Productions, which is now going into its sixth year of producing theater in Berkeley. And we're supported by the Berkeley Civic Arts Commission. The Play Readers folks are some of the liveliest people to come and see our productions. It would not have happened. I would not be doing this work that I'm doing, which I think is valuable to the city of Berkeley, as well as to me and the artists that I work with. It would not have happened without Play Readers. So as you know, Play Readers recently was moved from Wednesdays at noon at Central. And the reasons for the change appear to be utterly capricious. And the results, as you've already heard, are discriminatory. They are unquestionably discriminatory. Although the librarian who founded Play Readers retired in March, there was another librarian ready to step into a supervisory position. Seemingly enthusiastic, as far as any of us could tell. There was a longtime volunteer who was happy to continue copying scripts and parsing them and helping to organize us. I'm asking you to get it back. It discriminates against people who rely on public transit, older people. It's just not as accessible anywhere else. Thank you.
Thank you. Marilyn Simmons.
Is this the public mic?
Yeah,
right here.
Just near one of these round
one
discs.
Of the round ones, okay.
You
see
you're
the mic of the audience. I'm here as a library user and a concerned community member. I wanted to speak to something, and I will, on the consent calendar, but I do, having listened to two meetings of the Play Readers group, I'd like to say I support them. It sounds like a thriving library program that supports library mission of literacy and building community. So I do want to say I support it. But I'm here to say that I was dismayed to see something on the agenda tonight on the consent calendar. I try to follow the library activities, and it's an amendment to the budget that in the changeover to the new iOS system, the Carl one, TLC, that there are costs that I hope, while they dismayed me and they were new to me, I hope Bolt was aware of them. That the self-checkout system that has been used will have to be scrapped, and there is a cost to have a new checkout system compatible with the new ILS system. And that Link Plus will have to be paid for as a separate item in order not to lose Link Plus. So that's also on today's agenda, and that's a budget amendment, if I'm not wrong. And so those were surprises to me. I hope they weren't surprises to Bolt. I hope they were laid out as a consideration in changing to a new system, that there would be these additional costs to carry over some of the good features that III provided. And because of the way this system is run, I can't ask a question, whether you're aware of it, and I can't be answered. But I just want to bring it out to the public that there are these additional costs that I wasn't aware of. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Do we have library unions here tonight? No unions?
No, I guess you're not going to address our issues. That's unfortunate.
All those women are taken care of. So no union tonight? Okay. We'll move on then to comments from the Board of Library Trustees. Amy?
I'm going to save my voice for later. Thanks.
My apologies. A friend of mine fell ill, and so this is a call from the hospital.
Thank you. Judy, do you have
Yes, I have three comments that I'd like to bring forth.
At our last meeting, I mentioned a program in New York that has to do with literacy and laundromats, how the New York Public
Library.
All right,
let's we all walk out in that. Sorry.
I would hope that you have some way of responding to us because this is uncalled for, undemocratic, and inequitable. Thank you.
Old song, but
excuse me.
Asking grace from a graceless place.
Sophie did have.
I was in my comments. I was going to say something that you might want to say.
Yeah.
But it's not my turn. So.
Well, that's kind of silly, isn't it? Okay. So is somebody going to say something, or are we going to leave?
I think that Jenny is speaking, and I think this was interrupting her.
Yes. So you, if you want to wait to my turn, I was going to say something. But if you don't, we'll
okay.
We will wait until your last meeting that we would be put on the agenda for tonight.
We'll move to Sophie right after Judy, but let's let Judy go.
All right.
It's easier to hear here, so I'd rather listen here.
Okay. You know, I feel as a board member that as a community, I feel that you have been very disrespectful to the board at this point. I was speaking, and for you to just get up and summarily leave was very rude and disrespectful.
You so because of that, the whole board has been disrespectful to us. I understand.
So
I'm not a disrespectful person. I just want you to understand.
You've had your chance. Let us go on, Judy.
Go ahead.
Are you going to finish, Judy?
I was about to say that I was going to defer to Sophie as the trustee, so you could go ahead. We could move not only in peace but in order. So I will defer at the moment.
Thank you.
And I respectfully request that the public, regardless of our views, we must respect when someone is speaking. It is rude and disrespectful to the community to summarily get up. I will not compromise on that. It is disrespectful to everyone here who came. I must speak to that because that is fair. Now, I shall defer to Trustee Hahn for the moment. When she is finished, then I shall continue. When she is finished addressing the group, then the group shall leave. I will not be disrespected, nor the board be disrespected again. Now, I defer to Trustee Hahn. You will speak. After you speak, I shall finish. Then I respectfully request that you leave.
So
okay,
you
how about
it?
So, Sophie?
So, I apologize. I did not intend to create this, and I actually did not expect the kind of response that we got. And I want to show my appreciation to my colleague for ceding the floor temporarily to me. I had not intended to speak out of order, and that was very generous of her. So what I was going to say is that I have heard you very clearly. I hear the passion, I hear the love, I hear the community, I hear the tradition, I hear all of those things very loud and clear. What I wanted to say to the apparent distress over not having an item on our agenda is that as a board of trustees, there's a certain domain, there's a certain type of decision that is in our domain, and that is broad, overarching policy and budget and kind of broad oversight. We do not have the authority, nor should we, make decisions at that level for the library. So it's not that we don't care, or we don't hear you, or we aren't concerned. It's that it is literally not in our purview to make that decision.
And who is?
So
So that the decision is an administrative decision.
Who's the person?
Who do we go to? Who do we ask? I try to answer that for you, but honestly, I understand you're upset, but
okay.
I think we can have a calm discussion about this, and actually, in this forum, it's not a back and forth. So you guys spoke, that's how it goes, and now I'm speaking, and it's not a back and forth.
How do we make
However,
it back and forth?
I'm going to get to that. If you would let me finish, please,
okay.
Perhaps step back, because right now I'm speaking, and you're the audience.
Fine.
So I'm trying to get there, okay? So this is not in our purview to make this decision, so it would not be appropriate for this to be on our agenda. That does not mean that we are not happy to hear from you. We are. And it doesn't mean that we are not able to check into it or have a conversation. It is an administrative decision. Exactly what the process is for registering a complaint or concern with the administration, I don't know, and it would be up to the chair to decide if she would like to put that information out. I will say that the head of the administration is here and has heard you. So that's the best that we as a board are able to do. I will tell you that I also have a dual role. I'm also a council member, and I would be happy to meet with you to see if there are solutions beyond the library, because it's very clear to me that this is something that is very dear and important to the community, and I would be interested in problem solving in general. But in my role here as a trustee, I feel it is inappropriate for us to address this question.
Okay.
So that's it. I now, it is not a back and forth. I'm happy to give you my information.
Why were we told that we would be put on the agenda? Last meeting, we were told.
I'm happy to talk with you about this. I will give you my card.
Fine.
And it is not a matter for us to discuss here. Yes? Hold on one second. I will step out so that I don't disrupt the meeting.
So, this whole board was disrespectful to us.
That's right.
You are all disrespectful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for
sir. Really?
Back to us. Sorry.
Judy?
I think I was going to share, recapping what I said last month about the program in New York, and I mistakenly stated that there were student advisor observers from Fordham University because the program is going on in the Bronx. And our new staff person, Bay, I think she brought to my attention, I was mistaken, it's NYU, New York University students. So I needed to correct that. And also, I need to share that, you know, we all make mistakes and we all get it wrong sometimes. So I appreciate the staff bringing that to my attention. The second thing that I wanted to share is I have here two... Can we close the door? Can we close the door? The second thing I wanted to share, you want to take one and pass? Oh, gosh, I just see the thing. I'm sorry, I have copies for everyone. I brought two articles to share with everyone. The last time I passed the newspaper, but this time I brought it so that everyone could have it. I'm sorry, did you get a copy? I'm sorry. Oh, okay. And this has to do with the new director of the Oakland Public Library, And I don't want to go into a lot of detail because you have the article before you. But the last sentence is the most important. The new Jamie Turbach, is that how you pronounce her name? Got her start right here at the Berkeley Public Library as an on-call library aide here at Berkeley. That's the most important thing. So I share this for two reasons. One, I think it's important that we keep abreast of what's going on here in the Bay Area at our fellow libraries. And two, I hope that the director and the management team who are here will share this with staff, because simply because someone starts as an aide doesn't mean that you'll always be an aide. And I think this is a great example to staff how people move up through the ranks and that there's hope for everyone. So that's the one reason why I brought this article. And I hope that we can congratulate her. Those of you who've been around, I think maybe one or two you might have worked with her in the past. I see a nod. Okay. The second article has to do with a young man who received an award for his work on the STEM program. And I was fascinated when I read it that he did a study because he wanted to better understand the impact of the popular game Fortnite on academic performance, reflexes, pain perception, and reaction to threatening sounds. And I thought that was quite a task for, I think he's a 12 or 13 year old, or I'm not sure which, but he was in a competition. And the reason why I bring this forward, even though I think it's in Contra Costa County as I scan real quickly, I think it's important to note that as the library develops our own STEM program, that's why this kind of program is so very important, particularly to underserved communities. So I highlight this so that staff who are involved in the STEM program will begin to encourage our young people to enter into the competitions and the like. So that's why I brought that forward. And lastly, what occurred, and I hadn't planned to say this, but I think I need to say it. I think we have some young people here who came in late and who weren't afforded the opportunity to speak. So I would like to ask if you have something to say. As a board, I think we need to hear it, because I also think that it is very unfair, and it was unfortunate the kind of behavior that we witnessed tonight, that it shut out and shut down people who came to speak who did not have an opportunity to speak. So granted, they did not fill out speaker cards, but since the meeting started out and it has not gone as we should, as it ought to have gone, I think it's only fair to the young people to have an opportunity to speak. So I respectfully request my colleagues to give them an opportunity, since they can't. Is this exactly
what you speak to us tonight?
Yes.
Okay. And what's the topic?
Just a few ideas, and I would like to share about some programs that the library can offer for the community.
Okay, 3 minutes is our time limit for public speaking, and we'll give you 3 minutes right now.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's clarify. Do they get 3 minutes each? The same as everyone else?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, 3 minutes. Come quickly.
Okay, yeah.
Come quickly. 3 minutes each.
All right. Hello. I'm Naziah. I'm a student at UC Berkeley, and I just came with a few ideas again of what I think the library can offer for people in the community. So a few things that I have gotten down is to start with a cultural corner, which can be like a section or in the library where we designate to bring light towards writers and authors from multiple different backgrounds and like different walks of life, just so you can share to the community writers who, or people with books and stories that people can relate to from anywhere. So like for me, for example, I never used to like reading, and I did not know anything until a teacher of mine started sharing to me some authors from where I was from, which was, born in New York. So I found Sharon M. Draper. She wrote stories that I related back to my own life, my own childhood. So I think that's a great thing to do. It can be anyone or any cultures, like Julius Caesar, Leslie Tenorio, authors like that. it would be good to have a corner for that. And also maybe even like a designated librarian to like even speak on it, like a little section set up. People can come to and say, who's the author of the week for this event? Another idea really fast I was thinking was maybe like even a jazz night. It can be a set night to where, set night and time, like Wednesdays afternoons, where people can come listen to like some soft jazz music, whether it be a live band or it can be like jazz music being played, or we can like read and have some nice soothing music as well. So just a few ideas I was thinking can be offered here that can like get the library more inclusive. Yeah, that's really it.
Thank you, Isaiah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Thank you.
A favor?
Yes.
If you could put that in writing and send it to us or give it to us at a future meeting or tonight if you have time.
Right.
Something in writing really helps. Because now I have to remember this.
Right?
Thank you. But thank you for the input. Thank you.
John?
Well, thank you, Sophie. Thank you for attempting to bridge some communication.
They left happy.
They didn't leave the room happy, but okay. I'll take your word. No, that's good.
Awesome.
That's good. I'm always reminded of one of my favorite movies, Cool Hand Luke. What we got here is a failure to communicate. I'm not sure where and how that happened, but there's certainly not much listening going on. So, part of communication is listening, of course. And I do want to, are there any folks here that are advocates for the Play Reader program right now? Everybody left, right? So I was going to say that the board's responsibility is not to make assignments and assign people time for specific. We don't do that. That's administrative, as was pointed out by Sophie. Neither do patrons, by the way. That's not the patron's job either. We have staff and administrators who assign people to specific programs and specific tasks. For now, that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to overreach my authority, and I think patrons need to be a little more sensitive about what their authority is as well. I would suggest, again, there's nobody here that's listening, but we have a complaint process, and I would suspect that that hasn't really happened, except here at the board meeting. So I would suggest that people use the complaint process. That's what it's there for. Okay, end of my statement. Thank you. Thanks.
Yesterday I took ALA's Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion workshop, and it was great. And I learned a lot from it, and I'll synthesize things and be prepared with a 2 or 3 or 4 minute summary of it next month, but it was just too quick for me to get done. But should you see that come up again, any of the trustees, it was specifically the Board of Trustees members, and I think there were something like 62 people, 62 different trustees. You were there?
I was quite good.
Very
so,
good.
Yeah.
So I was on the phone. I was on the list.
Oh, good. Well, we'll all report next at the next meeting then. Thank you. Consent calendar.
Okay, I can move the consent calendar. Is that what you're looking for?
Could we ask a question about the consent calendar? Just that.
Yes.
We're not replacing self-checkouts to accommodate the new system, are we?
It's an upgrade of the. Alicia, if you could speak to just my
the software that runs on the computers. The current software on our self-checks is an innovative interfaces product called ExpressLane. And so it actually works with innovative and not with other systems. If it did did work with other systems, that could have been a consideration for using to use it. So we have selected Biblioteca, which does our automatic computer handling systems and RFID securities system, self-check system. So basically, all it is that we're going to get bigger monitors actually because their software has a certain layout that excels when you have a larger monitor, so that will be a problem for the patients. Yeah, so it's really about the software. So there's a one-time software purchase to purchase the, you know, the licenses for the 29 self-check systems that we have. And then after that, there'll be an annual maintenance cost associated with the license fee. So the self-check interface is what will change. We'll still walk up to, we won't be needing to get all new equipment to install the system. We will get bigger monitors because, again, the new system is very graphical. The one that we have now is very character-based, and it's just, you know, there's not very much going on there, but with the new system, we have the ability to do a little bit of sort of, you know, promoting some of our events, and it also has a feature that if we enable it with sort of submit suggestions, reading suggestions to folks at the time of checkout.
Our current system is not PCI compliant, which is a challenge.
Excuse me, one quick question. Is this the for lack of a better word, program that you shared with us in the past? You went through the various steps. Was that part of the presentation?
I did not present on that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And the Link Plus is just maintaining our work with Innovative on that.
So, I think one of the most important elements of this to think about is that the Innovative contract was a lot more than our contract with our Carl X. But some of what we were paying for includes includes the Link Plus payments. It's still going to be less, but it's less than we had thought. meaning less, you do have to pay for Link Plus. Link is something that that was an add-on. My understanding is an add-on to the contract because Link Plus is run by Triple R. But we can still provide Link Plus within the system, but we just have to continue to pay Triple R for that element of what we have been paying for before.
And everything else moves to moves. Okay, thank you. Did that clarify some of those questions?
The additional costs.
Thank you.
So you want to reaffirm your motion to the consent
agenda
and not second?
Yes.
You don't mind.
Is there a second?
I second.
I'm sorry, Jim.
That's okay. I just wanted him to be first.
Good. Yes. All right.
Thank you.
The consent calendar has been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same time. Motion carries. Monthly director's report. Elliot?
So I just wanted to accentuate one element of something we were just talking about. A couple things to you having to do with the ILS. I'm passing around is information that was provided to each staff member via their paycheck this last week. We're really gearing up for the ILS transition. We have recognized and identified many positive elements and have been talking with staff about it. And what you'll see here is our message. We know that change management is a big challenge in a large organization. We have, 120 plus staff people, each of whom use this technology in different ways. And we're going to be doing a number of things moving forward beyond the messaging that's provided each week in our library newsletter. We're doing special messaging as well as training. So next week, in 2 weeks, we will be doing sessions for subject experts within the library. A few weeks of training to all library staff on the most important elements. So we're preparing the staff for all that work that's going to be going into it by talking about why we're doing the change, what the expected benefits are for patrons, and what the expected benefits are for staff. And so this is what you'll see from the staff. Yes?
Is this part of what our new communication staff are doing?
Yeah, so Amy Beaver is here, and I and other managers worked closely together, but really she was a great support, yes.
Oh, thank you.
I'm more worried it might be a little untraditional to attach it to the pay stuff, but we have other ways of communicating as well, right? We have the library news that comes out once a week for all staff to read. We have this great internal website called Blink, which is, I have to tell you, a zillion miles above iPod Web from the city. Like, it's a great intranet. We have a page on there for staff. And we'll have signs and all those kinds of things that you have to do. But people take the information in different ways. So we're trying to, even though it seems a little weird to attach a two-page document to someone's pay stub that's not happened before, it seems like we were asking folks over the last few days that it was really effective maybe to get people's attention for that initial blast. And then we'll go back to doing our traditional ways of communicating on our intranet and in emails from...
And in one-on-ones and in staff meetings. And I think that's the key thing. Supervisors are prepared to have these discussions and stuff.
And the ILS steering committee has been so consistently saying, we want to hear your feedback, we want to know what patrons are asking you. If you have a question, it means somebody else probably has that same question. Having this two-way, three-way, 10-way communication, we want to hear what staff needs so that they can support our residents.
So yeah, and the steering committee that's really doing this, those of us that are in this room, other than, is that locked? You can just open it.
Whoops. You can come back now. Say the magic words. Say the magic words.
The circulation manager, Anna, who's the JSJ, Anna, who's the
collection. I do.
Bay, who's the collection services supervisor, myself, and probably most importantly, Alicia, who's really keeping things going, and she's the IT manager. And then another IT staff member, John Dodds. So it's really all of us working together in this happening. And I guess Amy, you're an honorary member of this team.
That's good. Thank you. Nice to see the unusual patch chocolate next time. Thank you.
And I also just wanted to, if I may, just to say how successful, and I hope you saw the images of the folks who were able to attend. We held a really hard event with author Kevin Kwan at Berkeley Community College. I don't remember how many people. Sarah, you?
We ended up having 184, but then a whole bunch of people just who were at the school just showed up for the signing. So kids actually came out of class, came downstairs to get their book signed.
Oh, amazing.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a staff group. Sarah was the...
Rosie?
Sarah and Rosie, who's here, really played bead on this and really made it happen. Rosie did something really awesome. We had ebook. She negotiated an ebook license to enable multiple users to read the book at the same time. That's not the standard for library access to e-content. And I think we had about 1,000 people.
We had about 700.
Could you imagine?
Down
you
about 700.
So it really made it successful. So even if all of our 300 copies that we gave away were already given away, and all of our however many 50 or 60 print versions were kept out, we didn't have access to the book. So it was really, really successful as a result.
That's wonderful. Okay. All right, Danielle, come and talk to us about an overview of how the Library Board of Trustees played a role in the director recruitment process.
So, Danielle McMillan, Associate HR Analyst with the Library.
If I'm nervous, seem a little bit nervous, it's only because I'm really eager to convey this information to you that I do in this process, which is very important. So I want to essentially maybe talk about three things: where we are currently in the process, what's been done in the past, and then a recommendation for the board. So start off. Let's start off with the last action the board took regarding the recruitment process, this current recruitment process, which was back in September of 2017. There was the board adopted a resolution to have the board president head up the director search process in conjunction with the city director of human resources. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's been done in the past to give you an idea of how this process has usually been headed up. And when I say process, I just mean the recruitment portion of the process. So there's been three, as you know, there's been three prior recruitments. One in 2016, 2014, and
2015.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Could you talk a little slower?
Sure. I'm so eager to get it all out of my people now.
Absolutely. I'm receiving information plus trying to
keep Okay, I understand.
Thank you.
So let me backtrack a little bit by saying I'm going to talk about what's been done in the past with the prior three recruitments as far as the board's action on that. So there are recruitments in 2006, 2014, and 2015. In the 2006 process, the board authorized or the board appointed an advisory committee that consisted of the hall president and I believe another trustee, along with about six or seven former library directors to head up the recruitment process. In 2014, the board adopted a resolution to form a two-member, a two-member ad hoc subcommittee and to work along with city staff, which was the HR analyst at the time. In 2015, the board adopted a resolution to authorize the then HR analyst and the board president to head up the recruitment process for the director search. So, before I get to that, I want to talk about our recommendation given what has been done in the past and sort of the past practice and the current resolution that's adopted to see if the board might not want to consider expanding that resolution to give the community and the staff a little bit more direction. So currently, the September 2017 resolution, the board has approved for the board president in consultation with a city HR director to head up the recruitment. We did a little looking back, and we think this was done, when I say this, I mean having the director of HR for the city involved in the process. At the time, the library was in transition. There was not an analyst assigned. The prior analyst had actually gone to city HR. She transferred to that department. I don't know the exact history, but I want to say it probably necessitated working with city HR. A lot happened in a year or two. So now I'm here. And what we've seen in the past is the HR analyst taking on a role with supporting Vault and the recruitment executive recruitment firm that we end up identifying with the recruitment process. I want to talk a little bit about the role of the executive search firm and the role of the analyst in the recruitment process. I've been reviewing past materials for past recruitments, these past three recruitments, and what I've found is the executive search firm is very obviously invaluable in the process. They handle the majority of, or they manage most of the aspects of the recruitment, from advertising to posting to making sure we reach a robust audience and grab the most qualified candidates that we can. We have a wide applicant pool, candidate screening, management of the candidate expectations, verification, background checks, reference checks, and arranging the interviews. The role that I see the analyst playing is in aiding this process is being a source of information for following personnel rules, because this is a recruitment under the city's merit system, and in the past the board has followed the personnel rules and recruitment and hiring to make sure we're complying with those processes, being a liaison with CDHR if there's any information we need from them, and conducting in my role, a large part of my role as an analyst is to conduct the recruitment and selection for the library in conjunction with CDHR. Because the library has a unique position with the analyst sitting in the department, most departments don't have that. A lot of the responsibility for recruitment selection falls on the analyst. So CDHR holds certain components of the recruitment process where I liaise with them, but the majority of the organization for recruitment and selection is done with in-house for the library. Mm-hmm. So the analyst will be a source of information. There's any information gathering, working with the firm to reach out to people or let them know who they need to contact if they're trying to get information gathering. So grease the wheels, I suppose, you might say. Just be supportive in every aspect and be a resource in every step of the process. So, let's see. I think to finish, I will just repeat. I hope this was useful information for you. I just want to repeat the recommendation that Vault adopt a resolution or action item to authorize the analysts in conjunction with the Vault president to develop a recruitment process for the director of library.
My recollection is that the city HR person was involved because you were not here. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that responsibility falling right back on mm-hmm. your shoulders is exactly what should happen. That's how things have been handled in the past. So I don't think that's unusual at all. So,
yes, thank you so much for helping us out here, because certainly I've never done this at the library and in this capacity, so and because of this unusual relationship between the library and the city, it can be a little bit confusing. And I think also previously we thought that the acting director might also be a candidate. Is that part of what we know or don't know? Because that might affect whether we work with where we work in the organization.
Do we know or not know that?
We know. But I'm not interested in applying this. Yeah, not applying this.
I might have been
there. I obviously, at this point in my interim, will supervise her, mm-hmm. so there wouldn't be a conflict of interest.
Right.
In that sense. Other than the fact that the person, for both of us, whoever is hired, will be our supervisor.
That was the concern I had, and I think that was why we were going to the city's HR people, because that created an awkward and conflicting situation internally. I think it just was a different picture, but very clearly, in the circumstances that we have, we should be working with the libraries
HR.
I would like to say that you piqued my interest when you said that there were three different resolutions that had been done for each of the different director searches in the past, and it sounds like they were each very different. Mm-hmm. And I would really like to be provided with copies of those resolutions. I'm feeling like I have mined the library's resolution library really heavily, and somehow I did not, maybe that wasn't salient at the time that I was trying to find absolutely everything available.
You had those pulled up, didn't you?
Yes, what I can do is we can forward those.
Yeah, because I think that just in general, we all need to be aware, and so does the public, of actions that this board has taken in the past. Mm-hmm. And one, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. Two, we think something didn't go well, we might want to know what it was so that we can do things differently.
But I would say that given the range of ways that it sounds like things were done in the past, I would rather kind of reopen this question a little more broadly and understand, you know, why did one, what are these different practices and what are their benefits and, you know, challenges? I mean, I'm happy with what we designated, but I also had no idea that there were these other ways that people could do this.
And I would just, if I may, I would just say we discovered this as well in the last week that there were these different practices.
I did kind of think that what we were doing was setting out two people to figure out what the process needed to be, not necessarily to lead the process. And I know that sounds like a fine distinction, but coming and proposing a process, the beginning of which might be, oh, we actually want 7 people to lead this process, or we think only 2 people should lead it. I thought that's what we were going to be getting. Not that necessarily the 2 that had been formally designated, I would support changing that, not that they would lead the process, but they were going to help us figure out the process. Does that make sense?
It does, and maybe the first step is for the 3 of us to look at those 3 processes, come back, and see if we can figure out why they happened and why it's changed, and bring that back.
Well,
first of all,
bring back maybe a recommendation.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that was my response.
Yeah.
I support substituting, I guess you're calling the position the analyst.
The
assistant. Whatever.
Just say the library analyst.
Yes, for the city personnel director, knowing, of course, that person is always available to the library's resource. So that's always good to know. And I would also support a further investigation by the 3 of you as to what these different practices were and maybe there's more practices and why we might be one thing or another. I will say that I'm not sure that we landed on perfect fits in the last few library director selections, so I'm not at all necessarily wedded to what was done before.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly would like to know what the options are.
Okay.
So that's it. Thank you. That was my
question. Yeah, thank you. Yes. Thank you for that discussion there, Sophie. And just to piggyback on that a little bit, I agree also that it should be, or that it would be, I think, advantageous for our library and trust to be the part of this front. The point person is for HR, okay? Instead of the city. secondly, we need to redraft the September 2017 resolution. You're suggesting that we need to somehow redraft that, figure out different language. Expand, I think you said, enhance it in some ways. So, and I think you've already suggested this, so put this on for the next agenda, and you guys should have a discussion soon. Mm-hmm. It's already May.
Yeah.
Are we going to get to this summer? Since we don't have a meeting in what, July or August? What is it?
August, we don't have a meeting.
All right, so we still have a couple of meetings before that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, see, if we don't get to this in July, in June and July, then the year starts slipping away in a way, the calendar year. And at this point, I think we're kind of ready to go, in a way. I am. And I don't want to see too much time slip away. That's all I'm doing. And I don't want to rush this in any way. But I think the sooner we get to this on an agenda, we can all discuss it and come to some agreement about parameters, I think the better for all of us.
Okay. I just want to say briefly, even though I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit, I agree with Sophie. I mean, we certainly don't need to reinvent the wheel, but we did not always get the results that we were seeking the way we did things in the past. So it'll be good to look at information with both eyes open. That's all.
Good. Do you have enough? Good. Go ahead.
I don't want to say it's a caveat, but in sort of my process of reviewing some of the past recruitments, it's very easy to see the mechanics of what right. happened, but not the why or necessarily the intent, because
right.
people who made those decisions aren't here anymore. So I just wanted to add that comment. Also, it ties into the recruitment process. The board at the last meeting, I believe, adopted a resolution giving us authority to move forward with bids for RFP.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So at the same time that we're making this decision about the recruitment process itself, I'm also doing information gathering about the RFP process and talking with City HR about prior executive recruitments that they've done to educate myself and what else about them? Meeting with Dennis about the RP process, educating myself so I can have enough background knowledge, because I will be the project manager in conjunction with Elliot for managing putting out bids for the RFP process. And I say that just maybe to remind the board that the RFP, we can do these two items simultaneously, going out for bids and deciding how we want to manage the recruitment process. But once we identify an executive search firm, whatever committee or a subcommittee or and along with analysts, whatever we decide, you all decide that's going to look like, they will be working with the executive search firm.
They're
going to
have something.
So yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. Sophie.
Yes, so as not to extend this and extend it, I think I was saying, you know, that three of you maybe should come back and recommend to us what, you know, what that leadership committee would be, or, you know, but I'm also thinking that perhaps what you can actually come back with is a proposal for every element and a timeline. So, you know, our proposal is that this committee be formed, or that this group be tasked with this or that, and that this be done, you know, this first step be done by this date, and, you know, the RFP be figured out by that date, and because I think we need a roadmap. Right now, we've just been kind of gingerly stepping from one little, mm-hmm. you know, stone in the river to the next, picking our way through without a roadmap. And if we want to get to conclusion in a certain time frame, I think that you guys need to sketch what that roadmap is. And it sounds like you are at least going to have the benefit of the research that Danielle has done that shows what the roadmap was from previous. And then you also could either talk to some recruiters or talk with personnel at the city if you wanted an even broader view, use the information that she's bringing in. And I think it would be really helpful for you to propose something. I have to say that I trust the three of you to come up with a good proposal for us to start with and to explain to us why you didn't pick this or that, and why, you know, what the other options would be. And we can nibble away, and we can edit that a little bit if we think it needs to be, but it's going to be very hard for us to make it up from the whole cloth here on the dice. I would rather we have something in our hands to work from. So I don't know if that is too much work for 1 month, but I think that would be
fun.
Yeah, just a sketch for us. You know, based on what you've learned, best practices, what's been done before, and then we can all have a
We'll see how far we can go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So is that, you don't need to be listening?
No, you should. We're just giving directions tonight. All right, thank you, Danielle. We have no further update on the budget because the figures have not, and indices have not come into us yet. So we can abandon IMC for the evening and move right to agenda building for the next meeting. Family and I can always make it up.
I would like to review your proposal. And if there is any task that we can go ahead and do that's related, I don't know, thinking about characteristics or something.
Characteristics.
Some kind of listening session. Does the search firm conduct that?
Well, let us look at it.
All I'm saying is if there's a piece we can also do.
We can put work on. Okay. I got it.
Just to answer that question, I would imagine a search firm would want to interview each of you individually to get input on what you perceive would be the qualities.
And I think
we had a community listening session.
And
we have to do all that.
I think we should all go back and look at the Moss Athens report because they had some suggestions of very good.
How about if that's on the agenda? A discussion of the Moss Adams report sections relating to the director's search.
Okay.
So what would a discussion? Is that?
And can I just add, Moss Adams is not, they're not finished, right?
That's
correct.
There's a second session that is planned. It should be penciled in. We will send you the agenda. We're having two special meetings later this month. A reminder, one, it's on the 24th
at noon
for the budget.
At the Central Library.
We will have both in depth.
That's budget, that one?
Yeah, we will have information that will allow us to make a recommendation to the board related to the library tax fund. And then secondly, there is a second session with Moss Adams. That's on the 29th.
The 29th from 2 to 6 at West Branch.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. And then we will have our June meeting on
the 5th.
The first Wednesday.
So that's for the budget.
Does that May 29th meeting with Moss Adams fit in with what we're talking about now, or is it entirely, is it parallel?
No. I think it's a little parallel. It's mostly communication, I think.
The Moss Adams workshop is at West Branch,
that's
the other one is
Central.
You send us a reminder, hopefully.
Please. Okay. Anything else?
So we're not going to do any budget stuff at our next meeting, or will we have that?
Well, I think the budget is so standing item.
Yeah.
Whoa. The budget, we are going to have a special meeting just on the budget. We need to finalize.
Okay, so we will take a vote at that meeting.
That would be the moment. Yeah. Yes.
All right, anything else? Amy?
No.
All right, put my hands down. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.